Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Let's talk about Nimbus Fish Hatchery for a moment. It's going to officially open its salmon ladder on November 4th. But you know how fish go. Depending on the year's run, you might visit the hatchery, which is in Rancho Cordova, and find that the ladder is open a day or two before then, because this is the time of year that the salmon are migrating inland to spawn. And if we talk about another place, Auburn Ravine, there's a new tool, some new technology that's allowing an easier and more efficient tracking of the fish. So in the studio with me to have this conversation is Brad Covallo. He's vice president and principal scientist of Kramer Fish Sciences, and he's a board member with Friends of Auburn Ravine. Hi, Brad.
Hi, good morning.
Glad to have you here. Let's start with a few basics about the salmon run. Talk about the movement, the timing, what's going on when the salmon are in their run.
Sure. So right now, we're talking about fall run Chinook salmon. It's fall, and that's when the fall run come in. We actually have three other races of salmon in the Central Valley, spring run and winter run and late fall run. So it's a little more complicated, but fall run are our biggest run. This is when most of the fish come in. So they're just starting to come in now, and they will continue to come in through December and be spawning and out there in most of the rivers in the Central Valley. So it's a fun time to get out and see them.
The movement is from their native waters where they were hatched or born out to the ocean. And then they swim back. They come up against the river to try to get back to their native waters.
Correct. And they've been out in the ocean, you know, 2 to 4 years.
So geographically, where is Auburn Ravine? What kind of a stream, if that's the right description for it, is it?
Yeah, so Auburn Ravine is kind of interesting. It's a low elevation tributary. It has a fairly small basin. It actually starts, the watershed starts really in the city limits of Auburn. And then it flows downstream through the city of Lincoln and then continues westward and comes into the Sacramento River just downstream of its confluence with the Feather River.
What did the Auburn Ravine look like historically with the salmon run? And I should put steelhead in there, too. These are the rainbow trout that do the same sort of migration as the salmon.
Yes, thank you for mentioning steelhead. They're always neglected. So, you know, we don't have a lot of information about what Auburn Ravine was like before humans got here and started doing their thing. There are there certainly is evidence from anglers of people catching both salmon and steelhead as early as, I think, early 1900s and then up through the 50s and even after that. So they've been around for a while, but before humans started getting in there and changing things, we don't really know what was here before. Some might argue that it really wasn't a stream that should be supporting salmon and steelhead. And some of the things that we've done with water management probably have made Auburn Ravine more hospitable for salmon and steelhead than it may have been historically, which is kind of interesting.
Just to stay on the steelhead point for a moment, it's been an endangered species, but people should know what it looks like. And you'll be looking for that really pretty rainbow on the side of the fish, the pink and greens and the spots.
Right. Well, so steelhead, there's the resident life form that stays in the river year round. And that one isn't really considered endangered. It's part of it's a little bit complicated, but it's part of the same listed population. So there's some that go to the ocean and there's some that stay, and they look very similar. They're actually hard to distinguish visually. The only way you can really tell for sure is to actually look at the fish's otolith, its ear stone, and see if it went to the ocean.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the only way to know?
Well, unless you've had a tag in the fish and know that it went out to the ocean.
Okay. Some of the factors that influence the timing of the run, and I was being vague about it in the beginning, but we have to be because this is nature. We don't exactly know when it will happen.
Yeah, it can definitely be a little later, a little earlier. I mean, a lot of it depends on flow and weather. And, you know, we've had some early rain and it's cool. So, and by all accounts, we're expecting a strong run of fall run this year. I mean, there was a lot of fish in the ocean and a lot of people were catching them. So we're probably going to have a lot of fish coming in and maybe starting earlier than usual with the cool weather.
So volunteers with Friends of Auburn Ravine actually count the salmon in the fall, and you can put a pitch in for the need for volunteers.
Sure.
But explain how this is done in the past so that we can talk about the difference that the new technology is making.
Right. Well, so Friends of Auburn Ravine started trying to do an annual estimate of salmon in Auburn Ravine because prior to 2016, all we had were kind of anecdotal accounts. I mean, we knew we had salmon, but there wasn't a standardized way of getting data on them. And the way it used to be done was with a what you would call a carcass survey or a red survey. So people would walk along the river and look for fish or look for salmon nests. That's what a red is. And that's okay, but it doesn't give you an abundance estimate very reliably. And there's also the problem of when you don't have a lot of salmon, they tend to get the carcasses that get deposited after they spawn, they die after they spawn, get taken away by raccoons and coyotes. And so you end up missing a lot of the fish. So Friends of Auburn Ravine developed a video counting system that provides a way for us to count the fish as they come into Auburn Ravine, and we can see them coming through, and so we can get a direct count. And the 3 years that we've done it, we've always seen more fish swim by than we've observed in our carcass surveys. So we're seeing fish that would otherwise be missed.
There's been some surprise, hasn't there, by the volunteers saying, I had no idea in this little stream so many fish are passing through.
Yeah, it's exciting. And Auburn Ravine's a beautiful little stream, but it's not real visible to the public. You know, if you don't have somebody to kind of show you where to go and where to see it, you could easily miss it. You could be driving over it every day and not know.
So the fish spotter technology then was introduced into all of the process last year.
Yeah, and that was it's been a huge help to us. So this video system we have, it starts operating about October 15th. And it operates 24 hours a day. There's lights so we can see at night. And in 1 year of operation, so it's October through January, we will collect over 2,400 hours of video. And the way we started doing this was having volunteers sit there and watch the video. And you can fast forward a little bit, but you have to watch this video. And frankly, most of the time, nothing is happening. There's no fish coming by. So it's very tedious. And it was really hard on our volunteers to do that manually. Mm-hmm. So we started thinking about ways that we might be able to figure out how to get a computer to help us process the video. And that's what led to the fish spotter technology.
So say specifically what this technology is doing.
Okay, so what it does, we have an overhead camera that looks down onto these white plates that are on the bottom of the stream. And what it does is it looks for the fish. It looks for the contrast between the white and the dark. And it identifies and flags the clips of the video where it thinks, the computer thinks, a salmon is coming by. So by doing that, it basically reduces 2,400 hours of video down to about 20 hours of video.
We posted a little bit of the video online. There's also another story online. It's really obvious in the video I've seen to see when a fish is swimming over the plates. Now,
right.
You might have to look closer to know what kind of a fish that was, but
correct.
It's pretty clear.
Right. And the fish spotter helps with that. It actually highlights the fish in green so that the user can see it. And then we have so that's how you know, okay, at this time, fish are coming by. Then we have side cameras that are underwater, and that's what the volunteers would be looking at to see, okay, what kind of fish was this? Was it a salmon? Was it a steelhead? Was it a lamprey? We can also see whether the fish has an adipose fin clip, which tells us something about whether it might have been a hatchery-produced fish rather than a natural origin fish. So it's the fish spotter's been a huge help in
back to the Nimbus Fish Hatchery for a moment.
Sure.
There's video there on a screen, so you can see some of the video of the fish swimming by. It's funny. It's like a land trail cam because they kind of look, and you see their faces. You see them swimming very clearly.
Yeah.
And all that is the sort of the charm of it. But the point is, what are the numbers saying? And there's been so much concern about what was happening to the waterways and the numbers during the drought years. What trend is shifting this year?
Well, I think in the Central Valley at large, we're coming off of the 2014-2015 drought, which really was hard on a lot of our salmon populations. And right now we're getting fish coming back that came out that were spawned after that in 2016. And so we are expecting to see a rebound in the fall run Chinook numbers starting this year, and hopefully that trend will continue.
I'm not sure we hit the volunteer aspect of this hard enough. So for people who really are intrigued by what you're talking about and want to volunteer, what's needed, what's required, how does that happen?
Sure. So people that are interested in volunteering can go to auburnravine.org. That's Friends of Auburn Ravine's website. We have a few different things that we do. So we go out and walk the river to look for salmon carcasses because we collect DNA samples from them that we then analyze to try and determine where these fish are coming from. And we hope to confirm that we have fish spawning in the river that are making babies that come back 3 years later. So we need help doing that. We need help reviewing the videos that we get from the fish spotter technology. And I should also take the opportunity, if I could, to thank our folks who have been collaborating with us on this, the City of Lincoln, Nevada Irrigation District, HP Enterprise volunteered time of a programmer, Eric Hubbard, to develop the fish spotter technology. And we've had some funding from Rose Foundation and California Fly Fishers Unlimited. And, you know, we're a small, all-volunteer organization. I'm a professional fisheries biologist, but I donate all my time to doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a great group, and we really appreciate contributions from all of the above.
So we'll post a link for people who want to get involved and be able to volunteer. How far and wide is the fish spotter technology at least being talked about and, in fact, used?
Well, we're hoping to get more people to realize it's an available tool. There are a lot of folks who do video monitoring of salmon, and as far as I know, all of them use manual. They have paid employees who will review these videos. And I've talked to some, and they've expressed some interest in this technology, and we're hoping to get some folks to take a look at it and see if it could work for them. There's also opportunities to improve it. We'd like it to be able to do more automation, to be able to identify species and get lengths and all that kinds of stuff, because Auburn Ravine doesn't have that many fish, but some places have tens of thousands of fish coming by, and to have a computer-assisted system for counting and collecting the data on those would be extremely helpful for lots of folks.
What is the ballpark number of fish in Auburn Ravine?
In 2016, we had 300 fish, and we've had in the 20s the last couple of years because of the drought.
Is there something to be said for what's happening in the small streams? The large rivers and waterways have a lot of emphasis and a lot of resources put toward them, but the goal overall in the state is to increase the natural production of Chinook salmon, steelhead, coho, all the varieties, all the species.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's a big motive for the work that we're doing on Auburn Ravine, and it's actually applicable to Raccoon Creek and Dry Creek. Folks in Poudre Creek have been having some similar success. These are small streams. You know, they're not going to have a 10,000 salmon run, but they could easily have hundreds, maybe 500 even. And these small streams are, we know that they exist. We know that salmon and steelhead use them, but it's hard to get traction for making improvements to them, because there's sort of always this uncertainty about what's really there. And so that's why having some data to show, hey, here's the, we actually have fish coming back every year. That helps to motivate funding to remove a passage barrier or to do other habitat enhancements. So it's all about kind of demonstrating what we have available to us.
Again, Brad Covallo is Vice President and Principal Scientist of Kramer Fish Sciences. As a biologist, leave us just one last thought about how much the presence of salmon and the population of salmon is tied and a reflection to who we are as humans and what's happening in our environment.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, historically we had, you know, like 3 million Chinook salmon. I mean, Chinook salmon were all over the Central Valley. And I think we've sort of lost that connection because we don't have as many as we used to. But they're an incredible species of fish. They're commercially important. They're culturally important. And I think we have opportunities to enhance and benefit them in a lot of ways that we haven't really taken advantage of with some of the things that we're talking about. So I would encourage listeners to really start looking for salmon and thinking about them.
Yeah, that's where the appreciation and awareness begin, right?
Exactly.
I'm excited for the salmon ladder to open. I think there are a lot of people like me. Brad, thanks so much for the conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
And do go to the website, check out the link, and see exactly what we've been talking about today. Brad Covallo from Kramer Fish Sciences. And our website is capradio.org/insight. After a break, we'll be back with classical sound advice. This is Insight on Cap Radio.